And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 11. Paul was thankful to God that he had been made a preacher of the gospel. He was also an apostle, one sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he considered himself, more importantly, a preacher. It is the responsibility of a preacher to proclaim the word of Almighty God. It is a most serious responsibility. It is a very high calling. And God had enabled Paul so that he could proclaim the glad tidings of salvation to a lost world. Paul took that calling very seriously. He was willing to count everything that was important unto him as loss so that he could preach Christ and him crucified. A preacher cannot make people do what is right. They can tell people what is right. They can teach people what the Word of God proclaims, but they cannot make anyone do what is right. Neither can a preacher fulfill the responsibility of anyone else. A preacher can proclaim the Word of God, but he cannot do what is commanded within the Word of God for another individual. The Bible teaches that all people are responsible for their own deeds. The Bible teaches that all must give an account before God for what he or she has done in the kingdom of God or for what they have failed to do. It is the duty of a gospel preacher to preach. He, like any other member of the Lord's church, must fulfill the responsibilities that are placed upon a Christian because of a Christian's commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the responsibility of a preacher is to preach. I want to mention some things to you today that we are to preach. First, a preacher is to preach Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, Philip has been commissioned to the desert of Gaza, where there is a man from Ethiopia who has been to Jerusalem to worship and is traveling home. This particular man is reading from the prophet Isaiah as he rides along in his chariot, making his journey, his long journey, back to his home. The scripture says that Philip joined himself unto that chariot and began at the same scripture which that man was reading, found in Isaiah chapter 53, preached unto him Jesus. The message of the preacher Philip was Jesus. The subject which Philip preached was Jesus. He told of Jesus coming into the world, perhaps, of his birth by the Virgin Mary, of the life that he lived upon the earth, where he committed himself unto God. He told, no doubt, of his death upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of humanity, of his burial, and of his resurrection from the grave. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, as the Apostle Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost to that great multitude of Jews who had assembled there because of that feast, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, and he preached unto them Jesus." He declares that Jesus was approved of God, that Jesus worked miracles, signs, and wonders. And he proclaims the death, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 20, he says that God will send this Jesus, which before was preached unto you. The subject of New Testament preaching was Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul says that this grace was given unto him so that he could preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation begins the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 1. Gospel preachers are to preach Christ. Gospel preachers are also to preach the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The subject of the Apostle as he begins this epistle to the Corinthians was the cross of Christ. The cross was where Jesus died. The cross was where the Son of God had shed His blood for the sins of the world. The cross was where Jesus had become the Savior of the world. The cross was foolishness to many, but unto those that were saved, to those who had respect unto the cross, to those who had a profound love for God, to those who realized that they were lost in sin, that they had transgressed the law of God, they were separated from God, the cross became the power of God. In chapter 2, at verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "For brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, are of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." As Paul had come into this ancient city of Corinth, this great city of learning, but a city which was very immoral, Paul said, "I did not come with wisdom. I did not come with great excellency of speech. I did not desire to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Corinthians, because of their extensive learning, because of their great culture, discussed many topics, investigated many truths, uncovered many ideas. But Paul said, "The only thing that I desire to know among you was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I preach the cross because it is through the cross that one understands the degradation of sin. It is through the cross that one comes to a knowledge and an understanding and appreciation for the love of God and the grace of God. It is through the cross that one understands his alienation from God. The cross was the topic of New Testament preaching. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, this same apostle, this same New Testament preacher said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Paul's glory was in the cross. Paul's great subject, wherever he went, Corinth, Athens, Derby, Lister, throughout the then known world, was the cross. But preachers must also preach the Word. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul wrote to the preacher Titus and said, "But God hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching." God has a Word for humanity. And that Word has been made known by preaching. When we preach, we are to make known the Word of God. We are to proclaim the words of Almighty God. We are to say what God has said. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, at verses 1 through 4, you recall that Paul gave this great charge to the young preacher Timothy. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is a charge that has been made in the presence of God. This is a charge that has been made before heaven. "Who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom?" This is a charge that is made before the One who shall judge the living and the dead. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The apostle tells Timothy of a time when men will not listen to what God has to say. The apostle tells Timothy of a time when men will not appreciate what God has to say, but rather they will turn their ears away from the truth. They shall be turned unto lies and fables. They shall turn away from sound doctrine. They will have no love for truth, but rather they will delight in error. Paul says, during this time, Timothy, when men turn from the truth, when men do not delight in sound doctrine, when men have turned unto fables and they have itching ears and they do not wish to hear what God has to say, preach the Word. Regardless of what men want to hear, preach the Word. Regardless of that in which men delight, preach the Word. This is a charge before God. This is a charge before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. And because of that judgment to come, preach the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, And verse 16, Paul told the young preacher, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Before one takes heed to the doctrine or the teaching of God, he is to take heed unto himself. Paul said, Timothy, you take heed to yourself. You pay attention to self. And you pay attention to the doctrine. Because in doing this, thou shalt save not only thyself, but also them that hear thee. It is the doctrine that will save. Those that turn their ears away from the truth, and those that are turned unto fables, those who delight in hearing that which is false are not going to be saved. The doctrine of God, the Word of God, saves. Paul says, Timothy, you take heed to that. You pay careful attention to the doctrine or the teaching. In Colossians chapter 1, and verse 25, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Paul says, I've been made a minister. This is according to the dispensation, or according to the appointment, or the stewardship of God. A preacher is a steward of God. He is one who has been appointed of God. And Paul said, it's given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. It was Paul's responsibility to fulfill the Word of God unto the Colossians. He says that was for them. The Word of God is for those who hear it. And so the preacher has the responsibility of preaching the Word. A preacher also has the responsibility of preaching the gospel. The word gospel means good news. It is good news to hear the story of God's love for humanity and the sacrifice that God was willing to make in order that men could be saved. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That passage does not minimize the importance of baptism. That passage does not do away with the necessity of baptism. Paul was saying his responsibility was to preach the gospel. Before one becomes a subject for baptism, he must first hear and believe the gospel. Paul's obligation was to proclaim the gospel. The gospel must be preached whether anyone is ever baptized or not. The gospel must be preached whether anyone ever responds to the gospel or not. The gospel must be preached whether anyone ever believes the gospel or not. Paul said, I've been sent to preach, and that which I preach is the gospel. When he wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, so as much as in me lieth, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul was coming to the city of Rome for the purpose of preaching the gospel, because the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. The gospel was that which the Romans needed to hear in order that they might be saved. And Paul was ready to preach the gospel. preacher, in order to preach, must prepare himself to preach. Preaching the gospel requires preparation. Preaching the gospel requires study. And it requires a readiness. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. And he tells young Timothy later not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 7, as Paul and his companions are traveling to Derbe and Lystra, the scripture says, "And there they preached the gospel." As they traveled from city to city, community to community, the subject of their preaching was the gospel. And Paul says the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4 is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. This is according to the scriptures. Paul said, "I make known unto you the gospel, which before was preached unto you, which ye have believed, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which was preached unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel is the Scriptures. It's the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And that's good news. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and his companions desired to go into Asia to preach the gospel, but you remember they saw a vision. And it was a man from Macedonia who said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And verse 10 of Acts 16 says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." When Paul saw that vision, he was assured that God had called them to preach the gospel. A gospel preacher is also to preach the kingdom or the church. In Mark chapter 1, at verses 14 and 15, and Jesus makes it clear in Mark chapter 1 and verse 38 that He had been sent to preach. God sent Jesus Christ into the world to preach, to proclaim, to make known, to herald glad tidings of salvation. And at Mark 1, 14 and 15, after John had been taken into prison, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus began, after John had been taken into prison in the region of Galilee, to proclaim the kingdom of God. The time is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is at hand. It's time for the kingdom to come. And the kingdom is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, when Jesus sent out His disciples to preach, He said, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand." As Jesus commissioned these men to go out into this area and preach, the subject of their preaching was to be the kingdom of God. They were to announce that the kingdom was coming, that God was going to establish His kingdom upon the earth, that God was going to bring into existence His church. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, the disciples have been scattered because of persecution. They've left the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had told them that they would. He said the gospel would begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and finally to the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts chapter 8, persecution comes upon the Lord's church, and they began to scatter. And Philip goes into Samaria. And the scripture says they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What Philip was preaching in Samaria was the things concerning the kingdom of God. He was also preaching the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 28, the apostle Paul, you recall, has finally made it to Rome. He has been accused by the Jews of blasphemy. He has denied those charges. He has appealed unto Caesar. And so much of the book of Acts involves Paul's journey to the city of Rome. And finally in Acts 28, he is brought to Rome. There he has given a house where he has allowed to stay. And in verse 23, he desires to speak to the Jews, to those who are considered the heads or the important people in the Jewish religion. And verse 23 says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Paul testified and expounded the kingdom of God, or the church. God has called men to preach. This obligation means that we must preach Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, that we must preach the cross where Jesus died, where His blood was shed, where redemption for humanity was secured. We must preach the Word, the doctrine, the teaching of Almighty God. The Word involves what God expects and requires of men in order that they might be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. Gospel preachers are to preach the gospel, the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, by which salvation was secured, and by which the kingdom of God, or the church, was purchased. These are the topics found in the New Testament for gospel preaching. These are the subjects that Almighty God wants discussed by those who would choose to preach. But as we said, preachers cannot make people obey what is preached. Those who hear have the responsibility to respond to what is preached. And every person, whether he has been obedient or disobedient, whether he has fulfilled the Word of God or failed to fulfill the Word of God, will be called into judgment. And each one shall give an account of himself before God. Every preacher will be required to give an account of how he has handled the Word of God, what he has taught, what he has preached, what he has presented to humanity. And those who have heard, likewise, will give an account. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God manifested His Word through preaching. Why do we have gospel preaching? Why do we have those who choose to preach? Because this is God's method of teaching His will to all the world. If you be in our audience today and need for any reason to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we delight in offering you that opportunity. The Bible requires that one hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of sins, confess the deity of Jesus, and be buried in baptism for the remission or forgiveness of sins. Upon the execution of those acts, God adds that obedient person to His church, which is the community of the saved. We offer the invitation as we stand and sing.